This is a Collider.com audio interview.
We realized that today's purpose of the junket is to talk all about last season. Because
what a drag. I know. I know. Well, some people have published stuff that they promised wouldn't come out or will publish after, and then that's the only way to talk about it. But anyway.
When you look back on last season, what were the twists and turns that really stuck out for you, like you were really surprised with?
Lane Price. That was surprising. I didn't think that was going to go the way it went. Roger on LSD. The whole thing started Zuby Zoo. I mean, you know, there were some surprises. I mean, I didn't see that character becoming that.
What about the Joan thing?
Sleeping with the guy, the Jaguar. Although, and people were surprised that Roger didn't intervene or something. I mean, I think, you know, Joan's probably done the same for less before. You know, and, you know, kind of unwritten agreement. You know, there was a flashback. Was it that season? I forget what season with Roger and Joan where she gives him a, you know, it's an affair, but it gives her a fur. You know, there's transactions. This was just a more overt transaction that everybody was aware of and it seemed that much worse, but...
Was it a commentary on where their relationship was, though? Because if they were still together, they were still...
They've never really been overtly together anyway. I mean, you know, so I think that Roger was... It was like, well, what am I going to tell her not to do it? Am I going to tell her on what grounds? This is something that could set her up for the rest of her life. And again, it's probably something that you would... If those two were straight with each other, which they are most of the time, you would say, you've probably done this for something that isn't going to set you up for the rest of your life. So I see why you would entertain the idea.
John, yeah. I'm not talking about anything that happens in the first 2 hour opener. Okay, so don't get me wrong on this. But over the years, when you get the scripts and there are these huge emotional moments, mm-hmm. that if I had seen the first one, you'd play really, really well. Mm-hmm. Do you have to prepare extra for that? Is there a place you have to go to sort of get ready to go?
Yeah,
that deep?
You know, yeah, they're written as such. You know, someone sobs. I was just saying this. That's a scary word to see on the page. What day is that? You know, he gets emotional. I can do that. Sobs. Yeah, you have to figure something out. You know, you got to get it together. Because it happens at 11:15 on Tuesday. So by that time, that's what you have to come up with, or it's a failure. I mean, pretty much. There have been a few of those moments. I've had a couple of those over the years. But how does that pertain to anything but the first? Yeah, I know. But. You know, listen, these things are always such a drag because what are we talking about? There's nothing else to talk about. It's like last year, and who wants to talk about that?
Can we talk about fashion? Men's fashion? It's going to be really nice. And
you mean going forward?
Mm-hmm.
I would say the women's fashion. I mean, you know, the women's fashion. Men's fashion in the early 60s, to me, was... the highlight, almost, right? I mean, the women's fashion was interesting. You know, the Janie Bryant does an amazing job. But going forward into the later 60s, the women's clothes were incredible.
Nehru jackets?
Your hair
colors.
Seems different.
Yeah, you have the sideburns.
Yeah, you have like...
What sideburns? I will neither confirm or deny the existence of sideburns.
Can we talk about
more of the same, only better? What?
I love your character. I love you anyway. I don't know you, but I mean, I love. I love your character because the comedic relief is there, and I look for that. I need that because the episodes are so heavy,
yeah.
And then with so much death, and even stuff you said about death was funny. So, can you talk about that at all, or just being sort of comedic? Is that accidental? Are you comedic in real life?
No. Yeah, it's funny. I always feel like I'm in a comedy. I mean, with Rogers, you know, there's a lot of funny stuff. But, you know, as evidenced in the past and in the first couple that you may or may not have seen, you know, just when you think someone is one thing, it gets heavier or it gets lighter, or someone's capable of doing something that you didn't expect them to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes the show as good as it is. Just when you think that Roger's just a prick who doesn't care about anybody, he cares about somebody. Or is just a misogynistic, you know, drunk. He's better at business than you think he is. He has something to impart to somebody like Lane Price, mm-hmm. who then can't execute the way Roger right. wants him to. Or Lane Price is caught red-handed and decides to do that. You know, I mean, it's just so unexpected. The storytelling is so good. So there's more of that coming. And you know, I mean, you sort of know where we are headed culturally, too. So it's, right. I mean, all, and this, the amazing thing is he's figured all this out 6 years ago. Matt, that is. I mean, not all the particular steps along the way, but he knew that he wanted to do this, and that's I find amazing. And he's got one more. I think he's got it figured out.
Definitely want to ask about that LSD episode from last season.
Yeah.
How much fun was it to film that one, and what was it like watching it when it was all said and done?
It was more fun watching it than it was filming it, because filming it was like a bunch of little pieces, the little cigarette gag and the mirror had to be just the right angle, and Ham had to be at the right thing, and I couldn't see him, and he couldn't see. You know, it was most of it was manufactured, and it was 2 a.m, and we were running out of time, and you know, everybody gets stressed, and so the practical application of it wasn't that. You know, the vodka bottle with the music, there was actually somebody pumping music on the set. That was fun. So, and I was trying to mess with him, putting the thing on differently, and he was like right there the whole time. So that was funny. And we reshot the scene in the bathtub because initially it was a set issue, and then it became a performance issue. It wasn't exactly the tone that he wanted, Matt, that is. So we reshot that. So it was, you know, like most of the actual execution of it, it's not as much fun as it looks. I mean, it is fun in a creative way, but it isn't, you know, scenes in bed, all that stuff. You know, there's 60 people around telling you to move an inch and do it like this, only make it organic, but keep your arm like this when you do it, you know, so tricky.
So what was your reaction seeing the final product?
I thought the tone was actually just right. I thought it wasn't. The thing I thought that made it interesting was it was lo-fi kind of. It wasn't a lot of special effects, and it wasn't a lot. It wasn't super stony or anything. I think that's what he wanted to pull us back from. I think I might have done that in the first bathtub scene. He was like, no, it's more lucid. It's just watching someone convinced that they're going through, you know, having these visions or having this experience that is seemingly very lucid. So I thought it was well done.
How method did you get in preparing?
Oh, I ate a shitload of blotter. And I was so high the whole time.
John, you have a car commercial now.
I did have a car commercial.
I just saw it the other night.
You couldn't have, because then they owe me money. No, they pulled the plug on that a little while ago.
Oh, now they have Lincoln. I remember it.
Lincoln. They could, and they came for those keys. They literally were like,
so when you
thing ended, the knock knock. I was like, that can't be. The keys, please. They took those keys fast.
When you film a commercial now, do they want to talk to you about advertising? Like, they think that you know it, and as an actor, having been played somebody in advertising, does it change how you think about deciding to take commercials?
Well, I only did the one. I mean, I started out doing them when I was younger, but I've only done the one. And I do voiceovers, but you know, being on camera and selling something, I wasn't really interested. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, everybody's selling something. I mean, you turn on the tube, and someone. I mean, and then if you go to Europe or you know or Asia, everyone is selling something. You know. All the guys that don't want to be seen selling something here, selling something there. So I thought, what the hell? And my friends were producing it and directing it, and it was a kind of a no-brainer a little bit. And it was, I enjoyed it. But I don't know what really. I don't know very much about advertising. I mean, you know, I know what appeals to me, and you see it everywhere. So good advertising is remarkable. And my friends are in that business, but you know, despite how long I've been doing this television show, it's really just a television show about advertising, about which I know squat.
But I thought maybe people think you did.
People think I do, but those are the same people who, you know, who believe that that this television show is real, I guess. I don't know. Like, they're the what people are talking back to the TV, you know, during Downton Abbey.
Are you allowed to say if you're directing again this season?
Yeah, I did two. I directed two episodes. I just finished shooting one last week that I started editing on Monday.
I'm always curious if there's certain camera angles that you've been wanting to do that you maybe were able to achieve this season, or you know what I mean?
Interesting. Like, yeah, no, I actually asked that question because the you know, there's a low angle to the show, and it's a very sort of late 50s, early 60s kind of a Douglas Sirk vibe that I always interpreted as such. And the closer you get to the 70s, you know, it's more verite and it's more, you know, the style changes. And I asked that question, is the camera ever going to rise up into the 70s? And it wasn't really answered definitively, but I don't think Matt sees it that way. It's just a look that we established for the show, and it isn't necessarily period relevant. And so... I've asked to do things, to shoot things in certain ways. I pitched things, and I can't get into one of them. Was accepted for this season, but you just basically throw it out there, and they'll say, "Yeah, nah, we don't want to do that." Or the cinematographer will say, "You know what? This is closer than we ever go, or this is wider than we should be." You know. And they anticipate that, you know, if you're going to spend a lot of time on this, it should be in the show because we don't have a lot of time. So you don't want to waste time shooting something that it's not going to, that won't be used. And that decision isn't up to me.
I'm also curious about, like, say, a long tracking shot. Is there anything that you're trying? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, tracking, like, if you notice, we don't move the camera very much, but it isn't a hard and fast rule. But it's a sort of a consistency. So. If there's a long tracking shot, there better be a reason for it, and there might be a reason for it. There might be a reason, you know. I mean, we have to move. You know, of necessity, you have to move the camera, but you don't want to do anything unnecessarily. I think you're trying to tell the story as simply as possible, and the writing and the performances and the sets and all that stuff give you all that. You don't need to unnecessarily, you know, CSI it up. You know, I mean, which. I find distracting anyway.
Can I ask you, without talking about specifics of the first two episodes, it must have been kind of a thrill for you to get the script and see you're starting off the season with a bang, like real Roger centric.
Yeah, yeah, it was very. I love this character, and
how could you not?
I know, I know. It's so funny. It really is great. Ham and I sit next to each other at these read-throughs, and we're just cackling. The thing is so funny. And then he'll point out how many jokes I have, and I'm like, "Yeah, but look at the women sitting across the table who are playing the women that you're going to be in bed with." And I'm like, "You know, this is like it was like
the trio."
Yeah. You know, it's just a great series of good fortune that this has been. And it's going to be over soon, which is. Just sort of dawning on all of us, I think, doing this because it's coming on again. Is sort of, you know, and then next year will be it because we're almost done with this shooting this season.
Yeah,
11. 11, yeah, yeah.
So when you get a script and it says Roger is naked on LSD,
it's almost as bad as sobs.
Do they?
Worse. I don't know which is worse.
Do they ask you ahead of time or do they just say, "Look, you're"?
No, they don't ask you.
And can you demand a double? Like, are you like, "I want a body double"?
I wonder if that would be the case with, I don't know.
Yeah. But that was you, right?
Yeah, that was me. No, you could, I suppose you could. Or they could see your butt and then reshoot. Wait a minute, that's not my ass. You know, in those Lincoln commercials, the first time they did that, we did the, you know, while you're shooting I forget, the first one was like walking around the car inside this long white hallway or whatever, they've got a car off to the side and a whole other unit shooting the features of the car. They've sliced the roof off the car. Cameras pointing in over someone, you know, that has my color hair and is having his hands on the steering wheel and stuff and pressing buttons so that an intercut with me saying, you know, whatever, wood paneling, you see some finger. And the dude's hands were like these fingers with like E.T. fingers. And I got more texts from people going, are those your fingers? And those were not my fingers. You know, these big, long, weird fingers.
That is awesome. A lot of people think that Joan and Don belong together, but I sort of think that Roger and Joan actually might be each other's real loves. Do you ever see that at the end, that they could end up together?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's I think they understand each other. As seen in a bunch of different scenes, but I don't think that, you know, means that they can live together or want to. Who knows? There's for a million reasons, you know, why you're not actually with the person you're meant to be with.
Do you think Roger can actually live with anyone? Is he really capable of actually settling down and being satisfied?
Faithful. Yeah. I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope not. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because he really does appreciate people, I think. Mona, I think he appreciates... I think they have a great relationship. But, you know... I think they sound like each other, Mona and Roger. And Mona and Joan, I think, sometimes. You know, they sort of have a way of just cutting through the bullshit and pointing something out.
Mona knew about Joan, right?
I wouldn't... Probably. But not that she's ever said.
How much do you find out in advance or talk to Matt about the way the season's going to go, and how much do you want to know?
I don't know anything. I mean, I think only John knows. They have a sit down in the beginning of the season, and he kind of lays it all out. None of us know anything. I mean, sometimes, you know, he'll tell us sometimes, and, you know, you're sitting around the writer's room if you're directing one, and some stuff will come out, but everybody is conditioned to silence. The writers, everybody. So it's like, if you say, well, so-and-so, you know, it'll be, you know, everybody's really secretive about it. But, so the answer is, I don't know anything. I don't know what happens the last two episodes of this season.
Well, because you obviously just directed, what, episode 10?
Yeah.
So,
but even then, you will sometimes get a note that says, feature this conversation. Don't you know, make sure you cover this conversation because this person might prove significant next week or whatever. Or this is a moment that leads up to something. But they won't, you know, but very rarely will you get the whole puzzle.
Well, how early are you getting the information about episode 10 in terms of breaking it down and stuff?
Eight days prior to shooting it.
Oh, wow. So it's really
focused. You get 8 days of prep. Yeah, to figure it out. Locations, cast it, the guest people, whoever that they are, and figure out how to shoot it all. It's fast.
So episode 9 was a busy time for you?
Very busy. Yeah, that's an episode, the one I directed, I was in heavily, which is something, that's the one thing I don't necessarily enjoy as much, is being in the episode that I'm directing, because it's just it takes twice as long to do everything because you have to come out of the room and then go around and look at the replay. We have to hire a video playback person, and then you have to watch the scene, and then you're inevitably watching something, and then you're watching your scene. So you get something gets a little. I'm better at it than I was before, but I don't really that part of it. I have a film that I'm going to make, hopefully in the spring, and I'm. There's a part, but everybody keeps asking, are you going to play that part? And no, because it's too difficult. It's too stressful, but it is.
How do you decide what episodes you want to direct?
Just give you the ones that you... The thing is, they have us... you know, under contract. So, I mean, if we know we start in October and we finish in April, then that's, they own us, basically, from that period of time. So myself and John Hamm are the only two people that direct, so, and we're there anyway. So he usually directs the first one, not this year, but because he's in every scene, pretty much. So you can't, it's really hard to prep. The 8 days prior, you hope to have little to do acting, because if you're out scouting something, they have to drive you back to the studio so you can get suited up and go act in a scene. So that's hard, really hard for him. I'm not in as much as he is, so... anyway, to answer your question, we're there anyway, so they kind of fit us in and around the other director's schedules. The other regular, there's Phil Abraham and Jennifer Getzinger and Chris Manley and Scott Hornbacher are one of our producers, but he's there all the time too, so, and Chris is there, the DP. And so there's some people that come and go, and probably they try to work around their schedules.
What's the most takes you've allowed yourself to have?
I'm trying to think the most takes I've ever shot. I don't even think I've gotten into double digits. You know, I mean, once you start getting into six and seven, you'll hear it from somebody the next day. Like, why did you? Yeah. You probably give yourself less. I mean, I think you actually probably do. You just look, am I in the right chair? Are my pants on? You know, it's like you just sort of, can someone fix my hair, please? I look like an idiot, you know? I'm better at that, too. You actually do kind of skate by your own stuff sometimes. It's always surprising, though.
You mentioned you're going to do a film in the spring. Or you're hoping to do a film in the spring.
Hoping. I can't really... Yeah, it's sort of in the... It's close to being public knowledge. But
so you're waiting for a contract to dry? What? Waiting to sign something?
I'm waiting for deals to be finished and budgets to be... okayed and that kind of stuff. We're into it a little pre-production wise. People who are going to be in it know they are, so we'll come out with it soon. I did a movie though, Bluebird, that opens the Tribeca Film Festival. That comes out, that's what, the first, I think it's the first feature in the festival, maybe. It's good.
So Roger had a near-death experience. He had a heart attack and he almost died. Has he learned anything from that? Is he any healthier? Does he think before?
Well, he's healthier? No. I mean, he smokes, I suppose, drinks. Resigned, maybe, to the fact that it's going to end sometime. But I think the whole acid thing and going forward, he's trying to find some meaning in it, you know, in the experience.
I like the line he had when we sold death for 20 years and we ignored it.
Yeah, right. Thing. I mean, he's not without introspection. I just don't know if he suffers as much as some of the other people.
Is there a character you wish Roger had a little more screen time with? We saw him kind of interact more with Peggy a little bit last season. And the stuff with Betty sort of way in the past, but...
Yeah, well, those two, actually, yeah. Because they're great. All of them. Pete, I don't really... who do I act with? Ham, those are fun.
Right.
The Elizabeth I've had a few scenes with. She's great. And January, very... You know, January's great to direct, too. She really has a way of making it look like it's all just... coming out the first time and you don't know what's going to happen. I'll take any of them, you know. I mean, directing them all is kind of amazing because you don't really have to do anything. You just have to sort of go, well, try it a little more like that or a little, how about this? And they just can do anything. It's amazing. Very technically adept to what?
Which do you prefer, acting or directing?
I don't know. I don't know. They're just so different. I like directing. I haven't done it very long, and it's exciting. And I feel like I'm at that point where I'm just getting a little confidence that I'm not completely without ability. You know, I can you know, in the beginning you're like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, and you, but you pretend you do because there's 100 people looking at you wondering what you're going to do next. And then, yeah, you know, you get a little confidence. So I'd like to do more of that in the near future.
Are there typically a lot of, like, with the ones you directed, or just in general, are there a lot of deleted scenes, or is it pretty much everything you shoot ends up on screen?
You pretty much, that's what I was saying before. You're going to shoot, whatever you're going to shoot is going to be used most of the time. I mean, the scenes, there'll be, obviously, takes, they'll be not chosen, but rarely do we shoot stuff we don't use. Things are trimmed, and we have to leave the episodes. You're expected to leave the episode long, and Matt will go in and make his changes and, you know, finish it. Excuse me. But we don't shoot that much stuff that we don't use. So, which is kind of makes it more critical. Like, if you know that the scene might not make it anyway, you can kind of spend less time, but you never know what's going to make it in. I mean, most of it makes it in.
What is Matthew like in terms of being on set all the time? Is he there a lot? Is he not there?
It changes throughout the season because he becomes more busy with post-production. Once episodes get finished, he takes more time in editing, you know, color timing, sound mixing, music. I mean, he's involved in all of it. So the further we get into the season, the workload for him, he's still writing, and, you know, still writing, and you know, it kind of crescendos for him. And then the writing is finished, and then, you know, and then he can concentrate. And then he has to direct the last one, so that's crazy. And then production is finished, and then he can focus on post-production. So it gets to a point of madness, you know. I mean, literally, but a ton. He just has to be everywhere at the same time. It's difficult.
There was a period where Roger was sort of worried about how relevant he was at the firm. Do you think, has he gotten over that, or is that something that he just never really get past?
I think the realization that he got one of them with the LSD that he says to Marie is that he realized that there's never really, you're never too young to give it all up. So, yeah, it was a blow to lose that account and get kind of usurped by Pete Campbell, but I think he's smart enough to know that it's cyclical and it's not beyond him to get another big account. And so he, you know, has to double down and kind of get his shit together and get some business. And the only way you stay relevant. So, I mean, I think they all are on kind of, you know, they all suffer these crises, and I think they're all on sort of separate life rafts. You know, they can't really help one another. And they, you know, and sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down, and they're all just kind of existing in the same pond. Ocean.
Thank you.
All right.